Hello, everyone. This is Vicki. Welcome to my show, Return to Shambhala. Today is the 4th of July, Independence Day for the citizens of the United States. And, you know, I'm feeling a little sad, a little melancholy today. I'm at the beach and I'm watching the children play on the beach and the families having their refreshments. But, you know, I feel a little sad because of the state of affairs that our country's in. I know our country is going to be victorious. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but right now there's just so much going on, the economic crisis, the propaganda that we get through the news media, the weather, the weather that's the bad weather that's being induced by the HAARP technology, the fires. You know, it's sad, but I know that things will change, that it's just a process that we need to go through, and that's what I want to talk about tonight, the process. This process has been going on for 50,000 years to make this planet free. It's really been going on longer than that, but it's a process that's coming to an end very soon. I don't know if any of you have been listening to some of the shows that are traditional in a way, like Alex Jones, InfoWars, and the Coast to Coast programs, Michael Vera, Late Night in the Midlands. But these people are excellent at reporting the news, the true news, without all the distortions and the manipulations that our networks are giving us, CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS, et cetera, et cetera. It's just nice to know, it's great to know what's really going on. And that is thanks to the internet. Alex Jones, Infowars.com, was commenting last week that now that he knows the truth, he can see the truth, it's really hard for him to function sometimes. He said sometimes he doesn't have an appetite. He loves his family, but sometimes it's hard to even interact with them. He kind of wants to be quiet when he's at home, and it's getting to all of us. Like I said, if I weren't a spiritual person, I think I would surely go crazy, not knowing what was going on. But thank goodness I am a spiritual person, and I'm not overwhelmed by all that's going on. Because of people like Alex Jones and different ones that are shining the light on the dark forces, the opposition, the elites, the cabal, they are becoming terrified of us, of the light workers, and they are planning all kinds of things. I don't know if you've heard of Lindsay Williams. You probably have. He wrote The Non-Energy Crisis, about how there's plenty of oil all over the planet. It's just that the elites make it look like we're running out of oil, so we have to increase the price and that kind of thing. Well, he has an insider that tells him what's going on with the elites, the secret world government, the New World Order, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. And he was on Alex Jones's show talking about this plan. I think he's been on other shows the past week or so. But one of the things that they are doing right now is they're not raising the price of oil. They know that we're upset about the price of oil. When I left Tucson, Arizona, it was almost $4 a gallon, and I just checked today, and it's $3.17. So the price has gone down in Tucson, and so that's true. What he said, that the elites are planning to keep the price of oil down to keep us from rebelling worse than what we are. He also said that the United States will default on their national debt, on our national debt. They don't know. He didn't know when. He couldn't give a timeline. He couldn't tell Alec Jones the time, but he said that the U.S. will default on their national debt. That's unbelievable. And then he pointed out that what's going to happen in the very near future is that the Middle East is going to cut off oil to the United States. No more oil will come this way. And even the Saudi Arabians, the people from Saudi Arabia, are going to cut the United States off from oil. But you know what? They have a plan. On May the 12th, according to Lindsey Williams, the House passed a bill allowing offshore oil drilling off the coast of Alaska. And he wasn't sure if it had passed the Senate or not. But right now, he said up in the area of Gull Island off the coast of Alaska, the largest oil tanker ever built is up there ready to be filled up with oil once they start to drill and start to bring the oil up out of the ground, up underneath the ocean. So what will happen is that the Middle East will cut off the oil, and then the United States will have plenty of oil, and it won't affect the United States at all. But, you know, it's not the United States that's making the money. It's the elites. It's the cabal. So, anyway, what else did he say? He said when you see Saudi Arabia cutting off the oil, that's when you know things are really heating up. Things are really starting to change. So, anyway, here's my show. It's called Return to Shambhala. And it doesn't seem like we're going to be there, but we will. We will return to Shambhala, to a utopia, to a civilization that is peaceful and prosperous, and that where we will be happy as a collective. The way we will return to Shambhala, we can do it on a personal level. You know, but personally, you can return to Shambhala anytime you want on a personal level. You can ascend a consciousness on a personal level at any time. But a lot of people on the planet have vowed to stay here until everything has ascended, or at least to the most part. They want to stay here until the big shift occurs. So how is that going to happen? How are we going to ascend? How's an individual ascend, and how do we ascend as a collective? The main thing that we have to do is we have to see that we're not separate, that everything is connected, that we're connected directly to God, to our God presence. I talked about that the very first show, about how we have a God presence. And we got cut off from that belief, that reality, that we are connected to God. We went into duality consciousness, where we're separate from the earth, we're separate from the sun, we're separate from the universe, we're separate from each other. And once we go into unity consciousness, which is the opposite of duality, then we can ascend. Because why would I hurt myself? Why would I, if I'm the earth, why am I going to pollute myself? Why am I going to destroy myself or kill myself by killing another person in a war? So this is the reality where we are headed, to bring this planet into the ascended planet that it was meant to be. The Hopi Indians of the Americas told Drumvalo Melchizedek that there is no word in their language for there, T-H-E-R-E, over there, because over there means that that's separate from me. So you don't think like that. You think that over there is me, so why do I need a word for that, if that makes sense? The elites see separation. And that's why they can do the things they do. The dog-eat-dog reality. And, you know, the elites have hearts just like we do. They're human just like we are. And they can change. And they will change. And we can help them. I don't know if you're interested, but Children of the Sun, twice a month approximately during full moons and new moons, we do different meditations. And this past new moon, our meditation was on sending out our vibration of unity consciousness to the elites, to the people who have big business monopolies, dog-eat-dog consciousness, and praying that they will raise up in consciousness and come into unity consciousness, that they will operate their businesses honestly and not with cheating and lying and false promises. So these are the ways that we can help turn this planet around. There are other activities, I can go into that later, that are doing the same kind of thing as Children of the Sun on a daily basis, on a monthly basis. There's millions of people that are amping up the light to shine on the dark and bring this planet to a whole nother level of peace and prosperity. I said I was going to talk about the true history of the United States of America since today is the 4th of July. I know that people like David Icke, they say that the elites came over from England to carry out the same plan that they had in Europe to take over and monopolize and control the people. And maybe it's true on one level, but this country was truly founded on the belief that it could represent freedom and independence and would become an example for the rest of the world. Now, we're not an example right now, but that was the plan. And this all came about through the leadership of a wonderful ascended master that we now call Saint Germain. Not too many people know about Saint Germain. The Catholics don't recognize him as one of their saints. But this is what we call him, Saint Germain. He's had many embodiments on this planet. I'm going to go through some of those. I hope it won't bore you. It just fascinates me, some of his embodiments. And many of us have been with him during these periods of time when great shifts have taken place in consciousness. You know that we're in the age of Aquarius now, and Saint Germain is the Chohan of this age for the next 2,000 years. Imagine taking on a job that would last 2,000 years. Oh, well, he's already been working on it for 50,000, so that's okay. He can do another 2,000 years. Jesus was the Chohan of the Piscean Age. He was in charge of the planet and the raising the consciousness from the time he was born until the year 2000 approximately. And now Saint Germain has taken his place, not that Jesus has left. I know he's here and he's working as much as we all are to turn this planet around. I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a brief history of some of the embodiments of Saint Germain, starting 50,000 years ago during the days of Atlantis, where the Sahara Desert is right now, that area on the planet used to be a golden age civilization during the Atlantean days. It was a happy civilization. There was peace, there was prosperity, and Saint Germain was the ruler. That wasn't his name, but he was the ruler, and he could see that the people were starting to fall in consciousness, and he warned the people, you know, things don't look good. We've got to work, we've got to raise our consciousness. But it didn't happen. As you know, Atlantis went under, the great flood occurred, and some people escaped and some people didn't. But he could have, Saint Germain could have ascended at that time. He could have left planet and gone on in other worlds, and I don't know, for some reason he just loves this planet. This is his project, like we all have our projects. This is his big project, and he wanted to stay. So he showed up 13,000 years ago in the Caribbean at the retreat of Lord Zakiel above Cuba. This is where the seventh ray, the violet ray of creation, pours into the planet. And this ray, you know, there's seven rays, seven colors in a rainbow. This ray has to do with transmutation, transfiguration, change, freedom. This is the ray that we are using to accelerate the change in this planetary system. So he was schooled in the beautiful Caribbean in the retreat of Lord Zakiel, who is an archangel of the seventh ray, the violet ray. And he was schooled in the order of Melchizedek. And some people resonate with that word, Melchizedek. In the Bible, Jesus was in the order of Melchizedek. It says it right in the Bible that he was a part of that school. And during that time, Zakiel worked with Saint Germain and encoded in him the violet ray of transmutation and freedom. I heard it was actually placed into his heart, real embedded in his heart. All right, now I'm going to scoot up in time to Plato. This was 424 BC to 348 BC, when Plato was known for his great philosophical ideas. He was the student of Socrates. Plato wrote The Republic, and The Republic is about an ideal state or government. You see the connection? Saint Germain was the great ruler 50,000 years ago, and now he's Plato, and he's writing about, wow, maybe we could have an ideal state or an ideal government on this planet. His God presence is pouring forth through him as Plato, connecting with him to bring up these great ideals. Then, I'm going to go back a little bit further back in time. I jumped ahead of myself. 1050 BC, Saint Germain was Samuel in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible. Samuel was his parents handed him over to Eli, the priest in the temple. So Samuel dedicated his life to spiritual teachings and being a priest. He was taught by the priest Eli. And I don't know if you remember in the Bible, but Eli was 13 years old, and he heard a voice, and he went into Eli, and he said, "Yes, Eli, what is it?" And Eli said, "I didn't say anything." And I guess it happened a couple of times. And finally, Eli said, "You know, I believe God is speaking to you." So that's when Samuel had his first contact, possibly with his own God presence or an ascended master was speaking to him. But that's what it says in the Bible. So these are documented historical people. I'm sure Saint Germain had other embodiments, but these are the ones that are actually recorded in history. And then this is the one that's a little bit difficult for some people to believe, but Saint Germain was Saint Joseph, the father of Jesus. So here he and Mary brought forth the great teacher, ascended master Jesus the Christ, who everybody loves Jesus, you know, he's well loved. So Joseph was, the true history of Joseph is written in the history books in England. There's a lot of books that aren't available to the public, but you can get access to them. And Glenn Kimble, he's a historian, a professor of history. Well, he was. He's not with us any longer. He passed on. But he wrote the true history of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, the life of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Joseph was an older man. He had many children, and he died. Mary ended up raising the children along with Jesus. Jesus talks about his brothers. Well, those were actually Joseph's brothers from a prior marriage. And the person that helped Mary raise Jesus and the other children was Joseph of Arimathea. And he was one of the richest men in the land in that day. He was a great shipper of ore from England to Rome. And they talk about Jesus was a carpenter and this kind of thing, but probably the only carpentry that was being done was building these huge vessels that carried ore from the mines of England down to Rome. I believe it says in the Roman documents that Joseph of Arimathea was the third wealthiest man in the world at that time, of the known world at that time, and it's in the documents. So if there's anything else I want to say about that. So when you look at the Holy Family, when you see Joseph, that's Saint Germain. Now in the 3rd century AD, a Roman soldier named Alban was martyred for hiding a priest. He was martyred by the Romans, and a shrine was built in his memory and I guess he was the first Christian martyr in history. Later, Henry VIII had the shrine dismantled, unfortunately, but that's in the history books. Then in the 5th century, Merlin was Saint Germain. In the Legends of Camelot, Merlin advised King Arthur. He was the wise wizard. He advised Arthur on how to govern the land, and according to legend, it was kind of another golden age civilization, kind of there in the past. The next lifetime of Saint Germain that's in recorded history that we know of is Roger Bacon, and that was 1214 AD. Then this is the lifetime that a lot of people don't really like, and Saint Germain was Christopher Columbus, 1451 to 1506. But you can see the connection between Christopher Columbus, you know, having this huge urge to get to a new land, to to move beyond Europe and go beyond to a new land. And where did he end up? He ended up in the Caribbean, where he had been schooled in Zacchaeus Retreat, there where Cuba is. So these are bits and pieces of his life that you can connect the dots, and you can see where he was going. He was a very religious Christopher Columbus. Columbus was very religious. He was almost to the point of being fanatical, from what I've heard. But his God presence was pouring forth and telling him, you know, go, take a chance. It's the earth is not flat. Just go. And many bad things happened. I know that, and it's sad that it happened. But he didn't have much choice. He had a very rowdy crew. They were prisoners, and he wasn't given much support. He did the best he could with what he had and with what was known at that time. The next embodiment that this is the last one that I'm going to talk about is Francis Bacon. Francis Bacon lived from 1561 to 1626. Francis Bacon, I mean, it's not documented, but we know as lightworkers that Francis Bacon was the son of Queen Elizabeth, and his father was Lord Leicester. But Elizabeth didn't want anyone to think that she would put somebody over the people, you know, that she was the Virgin Queen and no children for her, no marriage, no children, nothing. So Francis, having great attainment, his consciousness was to the point where he wasn't jealous, he wasn't bitter, he accepted his fate. He wrote, he transcribed the Bible into the King James Version of the Bible. He was William Shakespeare. He wrote the Shakespearean plays under the name of William Shakespeare. And behind the scenes, he helped Elizabeth rule England and the land there. So he did rule, but he didn't. He never became king, which he could very well have been. On May the 1st, 1684, Saint Germain ascended as Saint Germain, and on May the 1st we celebrate his ascension in the activities of light that I'm affiliated with. So you can see we've skipped a lot of embodiments, but 50,000 years ago Saint Germain could have left the earth. He didn't have to stay, but he wanted to stay. And then as Saint Germain, he asked the karmic board if he could re-embody after he already ascended. And they gave him a dispensation and said, yes, you can re-embody without going through the birth process. You can materialize yourself a body. You can come and go. And that's what he did. He had many names. He was Count Saint Germain, the Wonder Man of Europe. It's all on the internet. If you want to read about it, about his different lifetimes, and also his being ascended master after he already ascended and was able to be seen. It wasn't simply just like an angel speaking to you or an ascended master projecting their thoughts into your mind. He actually manifested a body. He tried very hard to work with Napoleon to unify Europe, but Napoleon's ego got in the way, And he told Saint Germain, he told him that he could handle this by himself and to just back off. And being a free will planet, Saint Germain had to back off. Well, you see what happened. So, since that didn't work out, he wasn't able to unite Europe. He decided to focus his attention on creating another country that would stand for freedom. So he decided to sponsor the Patriots who rebelled against King George, which is where we are right now today, 4th of July, Independence Day. He assisted George Washington, Ben Franklin, all of the Patriots. He assisted them behind the scenes in writing the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And the name that's given to the United States, America, those letters, when you move them around, shift them around, switch them around, they spell I am race. The I am race. We from the United States are the I am race. We are working towards our freedom and connecting with our I am presence. And that's where our freedom comes in. When you realize that you have a direct connection to God, that there's no intermediaries, there's no priests, there's no there's nothing to stop you. You have the freedom to pour, to connect with your God presence and to be a co-creator with God the way we were before we fell in consciousness back in the days of Atlantis and Lemuria. You know, I really admire and love Saint Germain and all that he has done. And before it's all said and done, before it's all over, we will thank him for his tireless efforts, his eons of time spent with this planet Earth. Some people say, you know, Saint Germain, you can have this planet. I want to get out of here. But for some reason, he just hangs in there. He loves this planet. It's just something that he has is determined to fight for, and that's the true story of the history of the United States. So, what I want to do, we have some more time. I want to read from The Gnosis and the Law. This was written back in the 70s by Telos S. Papastava. It's published in Tucson. I saw it on eBay. I think it was on eBay for $650. It's supposed to be some secret book, and we sell it in Tucson at the New Age Study for Humanity's Purpose for, I think, $20. Can you imagine that? But it has so much truth in it. The Gnosis and the Law. So I'm going to read about Napoleon and Saint Germain's attempt to bring about a united Europe. In one of his numerous discourses to the students, the great divine director, he's one of the ascended masters, related that Napoleon in his early years and before his rise to power was a modest and obedient student of Saint Germain. The latter's purpose was, by pushing Napoleon to the top, to bring under one rule all the states of Europe, abolish war, and eventually create a United States of Europe. Napoleon was fully aware of this and for some time adhered closely to it. But as his victories increased, his fame spread, his friends multiplied, he soon lost sight of this noble purpose, and reversing his modesty to arrogance, one day boldly told Saint Germain that from now on, he was going to give the orders. Oh my. So seeing the trap in which Napoleon was following, Saint Germain most earnestly try to dissuade him. But when human arrogance rushes in, perfection rushes out, and instead of following his preceptor's advice, Napoleon followed that of his friends who joyfully saw him on his way to St. Helena. I hope I'm not boring you. I'm not boring myself, so I guess that's the main thing. Another thing I want to read is the last lifetime on earth as an unascended being, Francis Bacon, St. Germanus Francis Bacon. The last earth, and this comes from the Gnosis and the Law. The last earthly life of St. Germain was that of Francis Bacon, 1561 to 1626. He was the natural son of Queen Elizabeth and legal successor to the throne of England. This throne was denied to him by his own mother, and when later the usurper James I embezzled the money of the treasury, St. Germain, as Francis Bacon, the official royal executor, assumed full responsibility and was legally condemned for it. Referring to this in one of his addresses to his students, he said that James I conveniently took the money. My name has not yet been cleared of it. As we know, St. Germain had brought the violet transmuting flame to this earth and is the great power behind it. It is not generally known, however, that even before his ascension, he volunteered to have the violet ray actually grafted into his own heart. Thus, he came into embodiment century after century as the most powerfully concentrated radiating center of that violet ray and flame, until the very places where he lived and moved, the scent of violets was clearly discernible. As Francis Bacon, St. Germain wrote several books and treatises, among them the Shakespearean plays. As he himself related it in one of his addresses to the students, he followed his own funeral as Francis Bacon in physical living form, and as we are told, it was a feminine body. He received his ascension May the 1st, 1684, in Transylvania, Hungary, where he went for that purpose from England. The first ascended master being he met on the other side, after he became an ascended master, the first person that he, the first cosmic being that he came to meet was Goddess Liberty. And you know, that's the Statue of Liberty out in the harbor of New York City, Goddess Liberty, whom he asked if she knew anyone there with from whom he could get help for mankind. There is one, she said, and that one was herself. The great divine director was his guru and teacher, and we are told he was overshadowed by him. Originally, he came from the planet Venus, just like Sanat Kumara that I've talked about in Lady Master Venus. They live on Venus, very beautiful ascended planet, which we are going to emulate soon. Between the years of 1710 and 1822, he appeared in physical form in different parts of Europe and America, and no one ever could learn his real identity. He was known as Count de Saint Germain in France, Wonder Man of Germany, Count Bellamore in Venice, Prince Roxy in Dresden, and with different names elsewhere. He was known to possess vast wealth, but nobody could learn its source. During the French Revolution, if Marie Antoinette followed his advice and directions, the bloodshed would have been avoided. If Napoleon had continued following St. Germain's guidelines, not only St. Helena would have remained unnoticed to the world, but also a united Europe would have been created with the ending of all wars. The assistance of St. Germain has been giving to America since her inception is not generally known. But if it were, it is questionable whether it would have been recognized and appreciated. Well, I appreciate you, St. Germain, for all that you've done. Now, St. Germain in 1934, contacted a man on Mount Shasta, California, known as Guy Ballard. He was a prospector looking for gold. And Saint Germain spoke to him there on the mountain. And he told him who he was. I'm Saint Germain. I'm an ascended master. And I want to show you around. I want you to show you things here on the earth. I want you to work with me to bring about freedom to this country and to the planet. Well, guess who Guy Ballard really is? He's George Washington. If you put a picture of George Washington and Guy Ballard side by side, they look like almost identical twins. It's amazing. So here he is. He's back in the 1930s with George Washington, who's called Guy Ballard, and he works with Guy Ballard to write what we call in the Ascended Master teachings the green books. They're real plain looking books. They look kind of like leather, like green leather, and they're written under a pen name Godfrey Ray King. Now, George Washington ascended in that lifetime as Godfrey Ray King. And that's what we call him, Godfrey. He's Godfrey. He's free now, thanks to Saint Germain and his teachings. This organization still exists in Mount Shasta. They have beautiful ceremonies. They have a bookstore there in Mount Shasta, and they have staff that talk to people about Saint Germain and the ascension process. I've been there. It's a very beautiful group of people. In 1951, Saint Germain worked with the Bridge to Freedom. Other members of the Great White Brotherhood also worked with this activity of light. Then Summit Lighthouse came about through Mark Prophet and Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and that activity still exists. It's in Montana. Now, right now, the new activities of light of Saint Germain are in Tucson. The Temple of the Presence is in Tucson, and they're meeting right now, probably talking about Saint Germain and all of the great things that we have in store for us as we go into the golden age of Aquarius. And the Heart Center is another activity of light that Saint Germain is working with, and it's in Montana. I had the founder of that activity of light, David Lewis, on one of my shows. There's New Age Study for Humanity's Purpose with Patricia Diane Cota Robles out of Tucson, Arizona. Children of the Sun, I've already mentioned that, out of Sedona, and the Radiant Rose Academy out of Mount Shasta in Northwest Canada. These are all activities of light that Saint Germain is working with, and we are all on the same page, even though we're different organizations. We have kind of different activities that we do, meditations and prayers. We're all amping up the light. We're shining the light on the dark, and we are raising our own vibration and assisting others to raise their vibrations so that this planet can move out of darkness and into the light, into the new golden, crystalline golden age. I know I left out so many activities of light. I apologize for that. So in summary, talked about a lot of things. Next week, next time I'm on, I'm going to have a expert in meditation, Boyd Batten. He's expert in meditation. This is a tool that we can use to help raise our consciousness and get to where we want to go in the ascension process. Yes, in summary, okay, yes, the world is in a mess, politically, economically, the weather, the earth changes, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, but they're all part of the process. And we can, with our prayers and our decrees and our open hearts, we can mitigate a lot of the terrible disasters that are occurring. You know, when you hear about these disasters, you hear that there are people that lose their lives. The angels sweep them up and they are taken out of their suffering right away. But there's not, when you think about it, there's not as many lives lost as you would think there would be. So many lives have been spared through our calls and prayers. The elites think they have the upper hand, but there is just too much light that's pouring into the planet from the prayers that the citizens of the earth are making. The angelics are there. The elementals, the of earth, air, fire, and water, they're working to bring in the light and to clear the old energy patterns. The ascended masters are here, the cosmic beings from other planetary systems and stars. They're here to help. We have so much assistance that I know that we will be victorious. Saint Germain has led us for over 50,000 years to be victorious, and we will be as more and more people connect to their God presence, use the violet flame, go online, see how to use the violet flame to transmute karma, cause, effect, record, and memory, and move into more and more light, so that we can expose the lies, the trickery, the secrets, because they're there. They're there, and they are being exposed more and more as we go through this process. So until next time, I wish you all much love and light as we all move through this ascension process. Thank you.